But ah, that insistent widow. You gotta love her. That persistent, demanding, unrelenting, unyielding, forever present, pushy, sassy, assertive, aggressive, importunate woman. Is there anybody more worthy of being the great-grandmother of United Methodist clergywomen than that woman? We know her. We know her. She was a widow. She was somebody with no advocate. And she was due a settlement that had not come her way. She pleaded with a judge who didn't give a rap about her. I tell you, retirement is terrible. It loosens your lips. It's... When he ignored her, instead of turning away, she just kept knocking at the door until she wore him down. He finally acted justly, not out of some wonderful sense of what was right, but because he just couldn't stand up to her. And Jesus said, if someone so unjust can be persuaded, imagine what prayer can do when addressed to a gracious, generous, caring God. You see, Jesus used this woman, a person of low status, a person of little or no power, but one who would not give up seeking what was rightly hers. He used a pushy broad to make a point about God's generosity and our lives of prayer. Go figure. Well, actually, the scripture is full of such women doing what they needed to do, what God intended them to do against all odds. Sometimes they caused a dust storm, sometimes a significant backlash, and at other times they just did what they did. In the most recent issue of Christian Century, there's a lovely new hymn verse written by John Bell. It's worth reading to you tonight. Listen to this. There is a line of women extending back to Eve whose role in shaping history only God could conceive. And though through endless ages their witness was repressed, God valued and encouraged them through whom the world was blessed. So sing a song of Sarah. To laughter she gave birth. And sing a song of Tamar, who stood for women's worth. And sing a song of Hannah, who bargained with her Lord. And sing a song of Mary, who bore and bred God's word. There is a line of women who took on powerful men, defying laws and scruples to let life live again. And though despite their triumph, their stories stay untold, God kept their number growing, creative, strong, and bold. So, sing a song of Shipra with Pua at her side. Engaged to kill male children, they foiled the king's command. And sing a song of Rahab, who sheltered spies and lied. And sing a song of Esther, preventing genocide. Oh, there is a line of women who stood by Jesus' side, who housed him while he ministered and held him when he died. And though they claimed he'd risen, their news was deemed suspect till Jesus stood among them, his womanly elect. So sing a song of Anna, who saw Christ's infant face, and sing a song of Martha, who gave him food and space, and sing of all the Marys who heeded his requests and now at heaven's banquet are Jesus' fondest guests. Isn't that great? Our foremothers all, we are the daughters of those who knocked on doors. We are the sisters still knocking on doors. Knocking, knocking, knocking. We must really believe what Jesus said. Knock and it will be opened to you. We knocked. Doors opened. We knock. More doors will open. Knocking, knocking, knocking. There were those women with Mr. Wesley knocking at the door of the right to preach. Can't let you do that, said Mr. Wesley. It's not seemly that women should preach. Well, they kept knocking. And finally, Mr. Wesley said, well, you can exhort. Take a text, expound on it 10 minutes, then break and sing a hymn, and then continue expounding for 10 minutes and sing another hymn, and that's not preaching. You know what I bet? I bet there's a whole bunch of people in this room that could say more in 10 minutes than most Mr. Wesley's in 30. Don't you time me. You know, we're such a wonderful sorority, maybe we should have a secret sign. You like it? And if you won't make a pun out of this, maybe we should wear pendants that are door knockers. That's all in your mind. I didn't say that. Remembering all those who have gone before us in the Methodist family, we ought to remember those who were ordained in other places before us. They were even referenced in some of the 1956 debate. One debater said, well, those denominations that have ordained women are glad they've done so. Newsflash. I knew I should have started. You're good. You're fast learners. No, I won't say that. You see, we are the daughters of many importunate, stubborn, called, determined women. We're the daughters of an endless line of splendor named God's persistent and faithful women, knocking until their knuckles were rubbed raw. Oh, what a debt we owe to those women who knocked until the doors indeed opened and the way was made a bit clearer for us. Oh, not totally free of obstacles, but at least the doors cracked open a bit. And when a door cracks open in front of a sassy woman, you know, they came knocking in 1888 when five annual conferences had the audacity to elect five women to be members of General Conference. Frances Willard, Angie Newman, Mary Kind, Amanda Wrigley, and Libby Van Kirk. They all appeared with their election credentials, and the brothers had a conference. And they denied them their seats. You better believe they came back 4 years later and got in. But what was best about that was one thing that was said. There was some prophetic, wise old guy there who said this. Get this. If we seat these women, they will next want to be ordained. And if we ordain them, they will next aspire to the episcopacy. Well, and so they came knocking in 1920. They said, we'll take those licenses, and when you have nobody else, you have something nobody else wants, we'll take it, and we'll tend it, and we'll feed it, and we'll make something of it that God wants. Just you watch us. And over in that wonderful book, Courageous Past, Bold Future, there are the stories told of women who took struggling little places and turned them into fruitful ministries. Oh, read about them and thank God. And then they came knocking in 1956 across with a few enlightened men, and the door burst open on paper. On paper. Because if you've read those wonderful accounts of our foremothers, you remember Maud Keister Jensen, whose knocking in New Jersey went unanswered. And so undeterred, she went to Pennsylvania. Persistent, called, bold, courageous, convinced. Oh, and then there's Missouri. It's my home state. I just hate this. The bishop said he wanted the first woman elder to be a graduate of a Methodist seminary. And so he kept Myrtle Spear waiting at that door because she went to Chicago training school when Garrett didn't admit women. Never mind that she'd held a license since 1920 and was a local deacon in 1926 and a local elder in 1929. She was kept at that door, knocking, knocking, knocking until 1974, the year she retired, when her persistence finally resulted in her being admitted as a full member. Some doors are harder to open than others. Missouri mules are really stubborn. I want to see you now. How many of you in this room were firsts in your annual conference? On your feet. Firsts in your annual conference. Do you know, it's still happening. As recently as 2005, it happened in Estonia. In Estonia. How long, oh Lord? How long? It was into the 70s before it got done in the jurisdictions. How sore are knuckles of women's whose hearts are full, knocking, knocking, knocking. Well, thanks be to God for bishops and superintendents who knocked on the doors of SPRCs and said, she's coming and you'll treat her well and you will be blessed. And how often, after about 6 months of her being there, has a resistant congregation announced to the world that it was their idea to have a woman? Yeah. Well, it still isn't easy. There are still doors to be opened. Ask our racial ethnic sisters about knocking. They know about sore knuckles. Sorry, we don't have any Native American churches. Where would you serve? Well, the only appointment available is a rural 3-point charge. Not another African American within 100 miles, but maybe. Or we tried to appoint you twice, but the people just can't understand your accent. You need to work on your English. Oh. Doors still stubbornly stuck on their hinges. More knocking required. Oh my, the door knocking that went on in 1980 when Marjorie Matthews was elected a bishop. In fact, every election of a woman is marked by lots of persistent door knocking. But thanks be to God for those who participated in the knocking, persuading, insisting, cajoling, threatening jurisdictional delegates until the election took place. We are the benefactors, the recipients of grace and courage given us by those who took doors and turned them on their side and made of them bridges across chasms of obstacles and outright denials. Until wisdom finally dawned on those they thought they could say no forever. They came knocking at doors of district superintendents who said, well, what if you get married and have children? they came knocking at doors of women's caucuses who said, "You don't do politics our way. We don't trust your feminism." They came knocking on doors of boards of ordained ministry, and they said, "Well, we've got our quota of clergy couples. You know the doors. You've knocked on them too. But every time we knock, I hope we hear the echoes of those wonderful women who are our foremothers, whom we honor tonight. Bless their knuckles, symbols of souls called and claimed by the very one who said, 'Knock and it will be opened to you.'" There's one more door at which we must be always knocking: the door of persistent prayer. The door that opens to the empowering, gifting, lifting presence of the Spirit. Jesus pointed to the persistence of that importunate widow. Isn't that a great word in our vocabulary? If it weren't for the widow, we'd never know importunate. Importunate widow. Not just to teach us how to be pushy and persistent, Jesus was teaching about prayer, about the power of constant prayer to open doors. It's more than our determination that is at stake here. It was more than a demand on a personal level that opened the doors we celebrate. We are the heirs of women of deep and abiding faith, women who knew their limitations but also knew their possibilities when they yoked their sense of call with a life of prayer. What makes our knocking so compelling and so effective is its direct relationship to our lives, drenched in the sense of God's presence with us, claimed through living, breathing prayer, constantly aware of the divine claim and therefore the divine intervention that goes before. Boldness born of that awareness, that consciousness, that holy living is unstoppable in the economy of God. As long as we have waited and will wait, when our knuckles are armed with the holiness of God consciousness, their rap will be heard and the door will be opened. Let every person who is still on the outside hear that promise. This great grandmother, importunate widow, is Jesus' image of a life of persistent prayer. And as we thank God for those who open doors for us and continue knocking at doors not yet fully open, we will be in peril if we forget about the first door at which we must stand. Without the gifts that lie across the ready, accessible threshold of that door, we shall only find our knuckles bleeding, and we will languish without the healing balm that takes away the scars and unclenches hands to be extended in the grace of ministry. Take a look around you. Take a look in your memory. What doors have opened for you? And what doors will you open for those who come after you? It is not enough to claim the joy of our having walked through doors that are opened. We have our hands on doors yet to be opened. There are sisters still knocking, depending on us to unlock still closed doors. It's not enough for us to remember for ourselves the gifts of our foremothers. We need to tell their stories and our stories over and over and over, lest a new generation not understand the depth of their heritage and the spiritual DNA given them by those who went before. Don't let them forget. Well, our journey isn't over. All the doors aren't open, but we have this wonderful inheritance of persistence and determination, assertiveness in capital letters, and the assurance of prayerful preparation for our pushy insistence. What a journey. Courageous, past, bold, future. Knocking, knocking, knocking.